ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
सुत उवाच
तथा परीक्षित विचारय शिक्षया महि महाभागवता शशासः यथा हि सूत्याम् अभिजातको व्यथा समाधिशान् विप्रमहाद्गुणस्तथा। Sutta Goswami said, O learned Brahmins, Maharaj Parikshit then began to rule over the world as a great devotee of the Lord under the instruction of the best of the twice-born Brahmins. He ruled by those great qualities which were foretold by expert astrologers at the time of his birth. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. At the time of Maharaj Parikshit's birth, the expert astrologer Brahmins foretold some of his qualities. Maharaj Parikshit developed all those qualities, being a great devotee of the Lord. The real qualification is to become a devotee of the Lord. And gradually, all the good qualities worthy of possession develop. Maharaj Parikshit was a Mahabhagavat, or a first-class devotee, who was not only well-versed in the science of devotion, but also able to convert others to become devotees by his transcendental instructions. Maharaj Parikshit was therefore a devotee of the first order. And thus he used to consult great sages and learned Brahmins who could advise him by the Shastras how to execute the state administration. Such great kings were more responsible than modern elected executive heads, because they oblige the great authorities by following their instructions left in Vedic literatures. There was no need for impractical fools to enact a daily new legislative bill to conveniently alter it again and again to serve some purpose. The rules and regulations were already set forth by great sages like Manu, Yajnavalkya, Parasara, and other liberated sages. And the enactments were all suitable for all ages in all places. Therefore, the rules and regulations were standard and without flaw or defect. Kings like Maharaj Parikshit had their council of advisors, and all the members of that council were either great sages or Brahmins of the first order. They did not accept any salary, nor had they any necessity for such salaries. The state would get the best advice without expenditure. They were themselves samadarshi, equal to everyone, both man and animal. They would not advise the king to give protection to man and instruct him to kill the poor animals. Such council members were not fools or representatives to compose a fool's paradise. They were all self-realized souls, and they knew perfectly well how all living beings in the state would be happy, both in this life and in the next. They were not concerned with the hedonistic philosophy of eat, drink, be merry, and enjoy. They were philosophers in the real sense, And they knew well what is the mission of human life. Under all these obligations, the advisory council of the king would give correct directions. And the king or executive head, being himself a qualified devotee of the Lord, would scrutinizingly follow them for the welfare of the state. The state in the days of Maharaj Parikshit or Maharaj Yudhisthira was a welfare state in the real sense of the term, because no one was unhappy in that state, be he man or animal. Maharaj Parikshit was an ideal king for a welfare state of the world. Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 16, entitled How Parikshit Received the Age of Kali. Text number 1. Herein Suta Goswami is glorifying the spiritual, compassionate qualities of Maharaj Parikshit. We know from Srimad Bhagavatam, he was the grandson of Arjuna. He was coronated as king under the direction of Maharaj Yudhisthira. He was a great personality. In fact, when he was in the womb of his mother, Ashwatthama tried to kill him with a Brahmastra weapon. And his good mother, Uttara, prayed with all sincerity to save her child. When a sincere devotee prays to Lord Krishna for the welfare of another being, Krishna is sure to respond to that prayer. Therefore, he appeared within the womb, and Maharaj Parikshit saw the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was protected. From that time, he was Parikshit. He was searching everywhere, observing everything, looking for that beautiful personality who he saw by the grace of his mother's loving call. At the time of his birth, Srila Prabhupada explains, the astrologers explained what type of a great heroic king he would be. Now, one of his great qualities, as explained herein, is although he had such power and majesty, such high spiritual realizations, still he had the respect and humility to always be seeking the advice of the great Brahmins, the self-realized souls. He would not make any major decision without receiving their blessings. One time a devotee asked our beloved Srila Prabhupada, when we make the world Krishna conscious, we will make you the king. And Srila Prabhupada said, no, I will not be the king. I will be the guru for the king. Because actually, the rishis, the sages, they have a higher position than the rulers. We see this throughout the Vedic histories. In the story of Ramchandra, Dasarath was the king. But still, when that forest dweller, rishi, Vishwamitra Muni, came to his kingdom, Dasarath Maharaj put Vishwamitra Muni on his throne, washed his feet, and humbly worshipped him, asking him for instructions. Similarly, Krishna established this example when he was in Dwarka. I know you devotees in Vrindavan don't like to hear about this, but when he was in Dwarka, when Sudama Vipra, who was a learned and simple Brahmin, came to visit the Lord got off of his high seat, put Sudama Vipra on the seat, and washed his feet, worshipped him. This was the tradition. And thus, what great men do, common people follow. When the great rulers have such respect for the great souls, the rishis, the learned Brahmins, the Vaishnavas, they seek their blessings and lead their kingdom according to the instructions of the self-realized souls in the scriptures, then everyone benefits. And the common people will follow. In fact, there's a nice example of this. Yesterday was appearance of Srila Narottam Das Thakur. Was his life discussed yesterday?
Yes.
Yes. Sure. So I may repeat many things that you said. But I'll just explain from one point of view. Narottam Das Thakur, you know the story how Lord Chaitanya, when he was in Ramkeli, he was crying out, Narottam, Narottam, Narottam. And in this way, all the Vaishnavas understood a great personality would be born by the name Narottam. He was born the son of Krishnananda Dutt in Ketarigram. Krishnananda Dutt was the king of that region. And Narottam Thakur was his only son. He was the prince. He didn't have to do anything except live. And he would inherit all the wealth and power of being the king. But due to the Lord's mercy, he had such a deep, deep longing. Deep longing. To leave all material entanglements and go to Vrindavan to take shelter of Sri Krishna. He escaped from home and went to Vrindavan. Or let us say, came to Vrindavan. And here he accepted Lokanath Goswami as his spiritual master and took teachings from Sri Jiva Goswami. Under the instructions and blessings of the great soul, he was sent in a party led by Srinivasacharya, along with Shamananda Prabhu, to bring the Goswami's books to Bengal, to be printed and distributed, let us say copied and distributed. On the way, books were stolen at Ban Vishnupuram. And Srinivasacharya and the other devotees, they were plunged in an ocean of grief. Can you imagine? The original manuscripts of all the books of Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, Jiva Goswami, they were under their care and stolen. So Srinivasacharya told Narottam Das Thakur and Shamananda Prabhu to go to their respective homes to preach. And he would remain in that area until he found the books. So when Narottam Das Thakur came to Ketarigram, his younger cousin, whose name was Santosh Dutt, became the king. He had all the power, all the strength, all the wealth of a king. But after meeting with his Narottam, his cousin, and hearing him speak, seeing his loving, compassionate qualities, he surrendered.
Narottam Das Thakur was an ascetic. He was in the renounced order of life. He had no possessions. But the king accepted him as his spiritual master. Not only that, asked him how he should rule his kingdom. So I will indirectly explain how Santosh Dutt so perfectly executed the orders of Narottam Das Thakur for the ultimate welfare of all the citizens. Narottam Das Thakur decided to go on pilgrimage. I'm abbreviating. He went to Navadvip. There, he met whatever surviving associates of Lord Chaitanya still remained. He met one Brahmin in Navadvip. That Brahmin explained to Narottam Das Thakur that under this fig tree that we are sitting, Nimai Pandit used to teach his students. He explained to him the beautiful leelas of the Lord in Navadvip. And what happened to the people of Navadvip after Nimai Pandit cut his beautiful hair, took off his elegant clothing, and accepted the role of a sannyasi. Thakur Bhakti Vinod explained that when Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, the residents of Navadvip experienced a very similar emotional trauma of separation as when Krishna left with Akrura to Mathura. But somehow or other, they survived by hearing the news of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes in Jagannath Puri. But when the word came to them that Lord Chaitanya had disappeared from the world, most of the associates of Lord Chaitanya in Navadvip and Puri, within a matter of days and weeks, they left their bodies in separation. They could not live. That was the nature of their love. Narottam Das Thakur visited the holy places of Lord Chaitanya's Leela. And he was told by some of the devotees there, you should go to Jagannath Puri, because whoever's surviving there, they must have your association. They're waiting for you. So on the way, he visited many places. Shikanda, where he met Narahari Sarakar, Raghunandan Thakur. And ultimately, he went to Jagannath Puri. There he met Gopinath Acharya, who brought him in for the darshan of Jagannath. He saw the Tota Gopinath temple, and he worshipped in separation Gadadhar Pandit. Then he went to the tomb, the Samadhi Mandir of Haridas Thakur, and worshipped him with tears of separation. When he returned to the home of Gopinath Acharya, one of the associates of Lord Chaitanya, many, many devotees, all the devotees came to visit Narottam Das Thakur. That night, he took rest, and while he was sleeping, he had a wonderful, wonderful dream. Would you like to hear? It has molded our entire sampradaya, this dream. In Jagannath Puri, as he slept, suddenly he saw the Rath Yatra. There was the chariots of Balaram, Subhadra, and Jagannath. And dancing in front of Lord Jagannath's chariot was Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu. His beautiful golden form, arms extending beneath his knees, his lotus-like eyes stretched practically to his ears. They were shedding torrents and torrents of tears of love. His eyebrows were like the bows of Kamadev. His nose was like a sesame flower. His lips were like red bimba fruits. His face was like the full moon. His neck was thick. His waist was thin. He had beautiful, beautiful forest garland around his neck. He was in the role of a sannyasi, dancing, dancing in ecstatic love. And surrounding him were all the devotees of Navadvip, of Orissa, of Vrindavan. Long list of names is given. There was Ramananda Rai and Swarup Damodar Goswami, Sarva Bhoma Bhattacharya, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Srivas Thakur Advaitacharya, Gadadhar Pandit, Nityananda Prabhu, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Bhat Goswami, Kashishwar Pandit. They were all dancing, thousands of devotees. There was Venkata Patta and all of the devotees he made in South India, dancing and singing. There was a tumultuous resounding of the holy names of the Lord as everyone's eyes were gazing upon the beautiful dancing form of Gauranga. Narottam Das Thakur witnessed that the trees and the birds and the animals were going mad in ecstatic love hearing this kirtan. Then he saw all sorts of people. He saw blind people and lame people. They completely were absorbed so much in this kirtan, they forgot that they were blind, they forgot that they were lamed, they forgot that they were dying, and they could all see, and they were all running to the kirtan to dance and dance. Even demigods by the millions were descending in human form to join this kirtan in the Lord's Ratha Yatra. Narottam Das Thakur, who always cried that he was born after the Lord left this world, found his desires so wonderfully fulfilled in this vision. Sitting off to the side, he was simply watching in great ecstasy. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally came to where Narottam Das Thakur was, took him by the hand and embraced him and said, Narottam, I will empower you to inaugurate a new type of Sankirtan that will mesmerize anyone who hears it. I will empower you to write beautiful poetry, songs that will explain perfectly my mission, my teachings, and my pastimes. Narottam Das, I will fulfill all of your desires. Have no fear. Immediately go back to Kateri and establish Sankirtan of the Holy Name and preach to all living beings without consideration of their qualification or disqualification. Please know I will always be with you. Then Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Prabhu, and all the devotees came and picked up Narottam and embraced him and all blessed him. Go to Kateri and pursue the Lord's instruction. Suddenly, everything disappeared. And he woke up and he was just in a dark, lonely room. He went to Jagannath's temple the next morning and just thought, just with his mind, he thought, Jagannath Dev, I have been instructed to leave you and go back to my home in Kateri. At that very moment, a garland fell from Jagannath's body and the pujari picked it up. And out of thousands of people in the temple, he came right and put it on Narottam Das Thakur. He considered this confirmation. Then he went to Gopinathacharya's house, and Gopinathacharya, without even hearing anything, he said, "The Lord wants you to go to Khetri. Go immediately." So he went. On his way, he visited Shrikanda. He visited Katva. He met Gadadhar Das and Yadunandan. Then he went to Ekachakra. Did you discuss his going to Ekachakra yesterday? Would you like to hear? When he came to the outskirts of Ekachakra Gram. Now this was years after Lord Nityananda had already disappeared from the world. Nityananda Prabhu appeared in the disguise of a very old Brahmin. That old Brahmin singing Narottam Das Thakur asked him, "Please tell me, what is your name? Why have you come here? Where are you coming from? And where are you going?" Narottam Das Thakur said, "My name is Narottam Das. And I'm just coming from Jagannath Puri, Sri Kshetra. I am coming here to Ekachakra Gram because I want to worship Lord Nityananda Prabhu, who is the son of Hadai Pandit and Padmavati. It is my great longing to see the holy places where Nityananda Prabhu performed his leelas. From here, I will be going to Khetri Gram, which is the place that I was born." The old Brahmin, who was Nityananda Prabhu in disguise, he said, "Oh, you want to see the places of Ekachakra? I know all these places. I know them very well, and I will show you." And then the old Brahmin took him from place to place and narrated so many beautiful pastimes of Nityananda Prabhu. "This is the Garbhavas. This is where Nitai was born. This is the place where he played his leelas of the Lord's avatars with his friends. This is the place he would bathe. This is the place that sannyasi sat and ate his meal and afterward requested Hadai Pandit to give Nitai to him in charity. This is the place that Padmavati wept incessant tears of anguish when Nitai was leaving. This is the road that the sannyasi left with Nitai. And this is the place where all the citizens of Ekachakra ran to find him, to beg them, beg the sannyasi, take my son, take all my sons, take all the sons, but leave Nitai here." But he could not find them. Then the old Brahmin explained, "The pastimes of Nityananda Prabhu are eternally taking place in Ekachakra, and those who are fortunate can see." After saying this, the Brahmin just vanished. Narottam Das Thakur became so attached to his association, he began to cry. He was thinking, "How can I continue my life without the association of such a wonderful soul?" Because he was crying in such deep feelings of separation, the Brahmin just appeared right before his eyes once again. Then the Brahmin, right in front of Narottam Das Thakur's eyes, transformed into Sri Balaram. He had a beautiful complexion like a spring cloud with blue garments and turban. He was holding in one hand a club and in the other a plow upon his shoulder. Balaramji gazed at Narottam with such love. Then that form transformed into Sri Nityananda Prabhu. Narottam Das Thakur surrendered at his lotus feet. Nityananda Prabhu embraced him and said, "Narottam, you are my favorite. Now you go back to Khetri. All your desires will be fulfilled. Have no fears." With that benediction, Narottam Das Thakur crossed over the river Padma and entered into Kethari. Santosh Dutt, who was the king, getting back to the subject of the class, was so happy. Just, my kingdom is yours. He just offered everything to Thakur Narottam. That night, Narottam Das, after meeting the citizens, took rest. And he had another incredible vision. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to him again and told him, Narottam, in the village of Gopalpur, there is a very wealthy merchant who has large silos where he keeps his grains. Because of they're being infested with venomous poison snakes, they have been closed for many years. Have no fear. Go into those granaries, because I am waiting for you there in a metal deity of myself and my consort. Go and install them and have a wonderful festival. Narottam Das Thakur woke up and immediately started asking if anybody knew about granaries with snakes in them. So the townspeople, everybody knew, in Gopalpur. So he went to that place. There was a merchant named Vipradas. Vipradas, when he saw Narottam Das Thakur coming, what are you doing? He says, I'm going in. No, you cannot go in. Years and years ago, snakes took their residence in these granaries. They have such venom, if anyone even gets close to that granary, they may die. I brought snake charmers and all kinds of other tantrics. And they were chanting their mantras, and the more they chanted their anti-snake mantras, the more the snakes would hiss. He said, I boarded these granaries off, even though there's a huge amount of money invested in the grain, still I boarded them off, I locked them, and nobody's going in. Years ago, Narottam Das Thakur said, have no fear. Today, all your grains will be available for you again. And then Narottam Das Thakur, in a trance of ecstatic love, he just walked right toward the granary. The townspeople were screaming, no, no, don't go, you will die, you will die. He just, fearless, complete faith in the word of the Lord. He just opened up the door of the granary, and immediately in front of everyone's eyes, countless snakes just, psst, they just came out and left the granary, entered into the forest, never to be seen again. Thakur Narottam walked in, and there he came out moments later with beautiful deity of Lord Chaitanya and his consort. He personally carried them back to his residence. There he set them down, and Thakur Narottam was just gazing upon these deities with such love. And at that time, as he was gazing before the deities, he became spiritually surcharged, began to sing beautiful, beautiful kirtan that no one had ever heard before. And he began to dance. It was at that moment that Narottam Das Thakur inaugurated that special kirtan style that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered him to do. As he was singing and dancing, people from all directions were coming. Their hearts were charmed. They had never heard or seen such sweet devotion. On Narottam Das Thakur's order, Santosh Dutt built a beautiful temple with a large kirtan hall for the deities. Short time later, in a place called Budara, across the river Padma, Narottam Das Thakur met with Srinivasacharya, and there they decided to have the first great Gaur Purnima festival, and they would install the deities. In fact, Lord Chaitanya told Narottam in that vision that he should have made and installed five other deities along with the deity of Lord Gauranga. So Srinivasacharya, Narottam Das Thakur made the invitations. Each invitation to each devotee was beautifully, personally handwritten by Srinivasacharya and Narottam Das Thakur. In poetry, unique to each devotee. And they didn't just send them out by mail or email. They had a devotee, a Vaishnav, personally deliver each letter by hand with gifts. This was the mood of their love for one another, the Vaishnavas. So caring, so personal. Srinivasacharya was thinking that night, how is it possible to arrange such a glorious festival with so little time? But then Lord Chaitanya appeared to him in his vision that night, in a dream, and told him, Srinivas, not only will this festival be a great success, but whatever surviving associates are in the world of mine from this whole area, they will come. And there will be a glorious kirtan in which I will appear. So with great confidence, the arrangements were made. Narottam Das Thakur went to the king, Santosh Dutt, said, I wish to have this wonderful Gaur Purnima festival. Please make the arrangements. Santosh Dutt, the king, under the instruction of Narottam Das Thakur, without even thinking, two times, immediately, just took the entire treasury and made all the wealth available to accommodate this festival and serve the Vaishnavas. He bought huge quantities of bhoga. And then he made big, big godowns to store the bhoga. He had constructed gigantic kitchens to cook for tens and hundreds and thousands. And knowing that many great sages, Vaishnavas, who were associates of Lord Chaitanya, would be coming, he made guest house, beautiful guest house. The temple room was beautiful. Actually, this type of love Srila Prabhupada demonstrated here in Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada invited his followers from all over the world to come to Vrindavan. Prabhupada personally, he writes in one of his books, in a purport, that devotees from all over the world, and even from the West, they should feel comfortable when they are in Vrindavan. So we have constructed the Vrindavan guest house. And a temple that is accommodating for all people. I remember when my dear mother came here in 1989. She came to Vrindavan. And we took her and my father to all different holy places. when we were somewhere in the area of Govindaji Mandir, my mother said, "I need to use a toilet. Where is a toilet?" Now, I don't know Vrindavan so much from that point of view. I said, "The only place I know is on, you go into the forest, and there's I'll give you a little shovel and you can do it there, a pot of water." He said, no, "I will wait, I will wait." And then when they came, they really, really appreciated all the temples and all the places of Vrindavan. When they came to Krishna Balaram temple and they found nice toilet, my mother said, "This is the best temple." So clean, so nice, and there's also toilets here. So yes, Srila Prabhupada wanted people from all over the world to come to Vrindavan on his invitation and be happy and be comfortable with the hospitality. So Santosh Dutt, he took Narottam Das Thakur's feeling very seriously. Just as Prabhupada ordered it, Narottam Das Thakur ordered it. The festival was coming closer and closer. The senior most Vaishnava at that time was the consort of Nityananda Prabhu, Janava Devi. She lived in Kardaha, which is not far from Panihati, near the bank of Ganga. When she got the invitation, there wasn't much time. She got the invitation. Actually, what happened is she got the invitation, and that night she took rest, and Lord Chaitanya appeared to her and said, "In the kirtan of Ketari, I will appear and you will see me with your own eyes. I will appear with all my associates." So the next morning she asked leave of Bhushudha and Birbhadra and Ganga, and with many of Lord Nityananda Prabhu's very dear associates, she left. And on the way, she stopped in Navadvip and Shantipur and Srikanda and Katwa, and all the great devotees came to join her. When they crossed the Padma River, Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivas Acharya, Shamananda, and the king, Santosh Dutt, were there to greet her. The word spread in all directions. People from all around were coming, and everyone was praising Santosh Dutt, the king. Under the influence of Narottam Das Thakur's pure devotion, he made such incredible arrangements. Why? Because he knew that the mission of human life is to never take birth again, to reawaken one's eternal love for Krishna. We are not these bodies, so we should arrange the kingdom in such a way that people could live comfortably in their bodies, in such a way that they make spiritual progress, that they can always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna through associating with devotees and chanting the holy names. The king knew if I please the Vaishnavas, everything becomes auspicious for everyone. He had such wonderful hospitality. He arranged, along with Narottam Das Thakur, that each and every devotee who came, senior devotees, they each had at least one personal servant. And the personal servants were all senior men. Narottam Das Thakur had people like Ramchandra, Kaviraj, and his best disciples, and Srinivas Acharya, their best disciples, personally rendering service, menial service, to the associates of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. How wonderful it was. Santosh Dutt spent enormous sums to get huge quantities of flowers There were thousands of people stringing garlands of flowers. Beautiful decorations. Wonderful bhoga being prepared for the deities. The whole kingdom was orchestrated in such a way to glorify the Lord and his devotees. When the day of Gaur Purnima came, in the morning, Srinivasacharya was instructed to be the priest for the installation. There were six sets of deities. Gauranga Mahaprabhu and his consort. There was Balabhikanta, Sri Krishna, Braj Mohan, Radhakanta, and Radharaman. All these deities were beautifully installed with Abhishekam and all the proper rituals. Then there was the offering of bhog and the arti. After the arti, Thakur Narottam began to sing in kirtan. People assembled. Raghunandan Thakur, who was a very senior Vaishnav, personal associate of Lord Chaitanya, he offered flower garlands and sandalwood paste to each murdanga and each kartal with a respective mantra to worship the paraphernalia of kirtan. Then he offered garlands and sandalwood to Narottam Das Thakur and all the kirtan singers and embraced them affectionately. Narottam Das Thakur began singing very sweetly. Please listen carefully. Ishwari Janava Devi, the consort of Nityananda Prabhu, gazed continuously upon Narottam Das Thakur. She is Nityananda Prabhu's Shakti, Ananga Manjari of Braj Leela. As she gazed upon Narottam Das Thakur, she infused him, energized him with her love, with inconceivable, unlimited spiritual energy. Narottam Das Thakur became so empowered that as he was singing, devotees' hearts were melting. Thousands and thousands of people were chanting in response to his beautiful prayers. And then he began to sing about Lord Chaitanya. Devotees, even the people who were just atheists, who just came out of curiosity, their hearts were melting. The Mahants, Achyutananda, Sri Gopal, Vrindavan Das Thakur, so many great personalities were there. They had never heard a kirtan like this. Even though many of them were very old, they all got up from their seats and embraced Narottam and started dancing and singing in ecstasy. When everyone was singing and everyone was dancing, Narottam Das Thakur began to sing about Lord Chaitanya's mood of love according to Sri Radharani's sentiments. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna with the devotional sentiments and the complexion of Sri Radharani. As he was singing about this, all the devotees simultaneously and spontaneously started feeling such intense separation from Lord Chaitanya. They were weeping and crying, crying in separation. As Ishwari Janava continued to gaze upon Narottam Das and infuse him with spiritual energy. The kirtan became so deep, so sincere with love, that even people who didn't know anything who Lord Chaitanya were, they were crying in separation from Lord Chaitanya. The resounding of the holy name filled all directions. At that time, the Lord could not withstand the calling of his holy names. By the power of Narottam Das Thakur's love, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all of his devotees appeared in the center of the kirtan, dancing with the devotees. Lord Chaitanya was dancing with Achyutananda, the son of Advaita. Gadadhar Pandit appeared and danced with Srinivasacharya. Nityananda Prabhu appeared, danced. There was Haridas Thakur, Ramananda Rai, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Srivas Thakur and his brothers, Rup and Sanatan, everyone dancing and singing the holy names in Kethari Gram. The devotees were mad in ecstasy. And then Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda came and embraced Narottam Das Thakur and spoke some words to him that no one knows. Then everything disappeared. And the devotees were just left in pang of separation. They were falling on the ground. People were crying out, "Where is Lord Chaitanya? Have you seen him? Is he there?" They were running in all directions. "Where is Murari Gupta? Where is Suklambar Brahmachari?" Ultimately, they all fell unconscious. And when they came to consciousness, all they could do was cry. Then Ishwari, Janava Devi, she wanted to pacify their hearts. She called Srinivasacharya Narottam Das Thakur. "Now it is time to celebrate Holi. Bring me the powders and the dyes." So they brought, and she, in beautiful containers, Janava Devi sprinkled them very gracefully upon the six sets of deities, and then took that prasad and began to very nicely sprinkle it on the devotees. And soon all the devotees were actually exchanging love. The powders represent the love of the heart, and they were offering it to each other very blissfully. And this went on, and kirtan continued until Mangal Arti. After Mangal Arti, they went to take little rest. After Mangal Arti, Janava Devi started beginning cooking. She said, "I will cook for everyone today." With her own hands, she prepared a wonderful feast for all the devotees. The festival went on for many days. And when it came to the end of the festival, Santosh Dutt, the king, under Narottam Das Thakur's inspiration, had beautiful gifts for each and every one of the Vaishnavas. Because he knew that the success of his kingdom is that everyone becomes Krishna conscious. And the only way that can happen is if the Vaishnavas are pleased and give their blessings. With tears in his eyes, he was begging all the devotees to stay longer. And when they were leaving, with sweet words, he gave them all garlands and sandalwood. He gave them some expenditure money. He gave them other beautiful gifts, each one of them, from his heart. He satisfied the devotees in such a way that they just showered blessings upon him. Because the way to get blessings is not to demand, "Give me blessings. Oh, Swamiji, give me blessings." Or, "Wow, Swamiji's walking somewhere," and you walk in this
path and say, give me blessings.
Yes, but that is not real blessings. When you please, by your service attitude, by your expression of love, when you please the heart of a Vaishnava, then spontaneously their blessings flow in full to enhance your life. So all the Vaishnavas were bestowing unlimited blessings upon Santosh Dutt because he was the model example of a king. He knew the real interest of his citizens to become Krishna conscious. Parikshit Maharaj was that type of king. And we will read about his transcendentally wonderful activities in the coming pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. I should end now. Thank you very, very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.